right. It's the January 21st, 2013 edition of the Seattle Sports Report with some big news out of Sacramento. Now, ESPN.com reported that the Maloofs have agreed to sell the Sacramento Kings to a group led by Chris Hansen and Steve Ballmer. And if they want to move the team from Sacramento to Seattle, if this deal does go through pending approval of the NBA, then they must file for relocation by March 1st. And the reason that they have to do that is because the NBA has a March 1st deadline to file for relocation to move a team from one city to another. So if they want to get the Sacramento Kings from Sacramento to Seattle after this deal is all set, then they have to file for relocation by March 1st. Now, the transaction still has to be approved by the NBA, so keep that in mind. The NBA does have a say in whether this deal goes through and whether or not the team will stay in Sacramento or come up to Seattle. Now, how it works is the deal transfers 65% majority stake in the Kings to the Seattle group, and with that, they could either move them to Seattle or keep them in Sacramento. But we all know they're Seattle buyers. They want to bring the Seattle Supersonics back to Seattle like the rest of us. We've been waiting ever since they left. Won't be the same team with Durant and Westbrook and everyone that went to OKC, but we will have a team. And everyone, get out your UW jerseys. Isaiah Thomas could be a Seattle Supersonic if we do get an NBA franchise up in Seattle. And they've already released a huge 70-page document about the arena. So if we get the arena, if we get the NBA team, does that mean NHL in Seattle also? I'm thinking it does. That would be ideal to have the NHL and NBA in Seattle. Obviously, NBA for most people in Seattle is the priority. But if you get an NBA team in Seattle and it follows with NHL, that's when you start being taken seriously as a city. Last week, we weren't so sure on the show. I talked about it, whether the Kings would stay in Sacramento or they'd come up to Seattle. A lot of articles online were saying Sacramento Kings weren't going anywhere, and the pendulum has swung in their favor, and the mayor was going to let other people make offers on it to keep the team in Sacramento. Now, all of a sudden, today, deals are reported that the majority stake of the team has been sold to Seattle owners. So now the pendulum has swung way back in Seattle's favor, and everything that's coming out right now says that Seattle will get a team. So that is huge news, and we'll wait to see if the NBA approves it, if the relocation committee approves it. We'd love to have the NBA back in Seattle, but until this deal is completely finalized, until they tell me the Sonics are back, I can't really go any farther than that right there. But if we get a deal soon, I will be blowing it up on this show, and so will every other radio station in Seattle picking it up, every other podcast in Seattle, every other media outlet is going to jump all over this story if the Sonics come back, because it is such a huge deal. Now, moving on from the NBA to college basketball, a very rare occurrence in the college basketball rankings. You have Duke at number one, Michigan at number two, and this is where it gets kind of weird. Number three, Kansas, and also number three, Syracuse. We have two number three teams in the top 25 right now because they both finished with the same amount of points. So they're both sitting at number three. Let's go over the top four, or should I say top three, since there's two number three teams in college basketball right now. Now, number one, Duke, their only loss to NC State, who is currently sitting at number 18. So Duke lost to NC State, who's currently at number 18. They were at number 20 when they beat Duke. And then you have Michigan, lost to Ohio State, who is currently at number 14. And Ohio State just coming off a big loss to Sparty. Michigan State got to them, dropped them to number 14. They were at number 11 prior to losing to Michigan State. I think Kansas is a team that isn't getting the respect they deserve, in my opinion. Their only loss was to Michigan State, who currently sits at number 13. And everyone in the top three, including Syracuse, Kansas, Michigan, and Duke, they all have one loss. And Kansas's only loss was to Michigan State, who's currently at 13. You have Syracuse, who's at number three, just coming off a big win against Louisville. But if you look at their one loss, it was to Temple. And Temple just recently lost to St. Bonaventure, who is 8-9. Temple's loss to St. Bonaventure does not help out Syracuse's cause at all. Syracuse loses to Temple. Temple loses to St. Bonaventure. They did help themselves out by beating the number one team, who was Louisville, over the weekend. But as far as the rankings go, I think Kansas is maybe the strongest team on the list, but Michigan looking very good. And everyone in the top three, their only loss was to a top 25 opponent except for Syracuse. So I think that's why Syracuse is at the bottom of the list in the top three, sharing number three with Kansas. But I expect to see Kansas move up if they keep playing as well as they do. And Duke Coach K, he's always making them look good. The Olympic coach coming out, coaching the Olympic team to a gold medal, and then he comes out and cracks the number one spot on the college basketball AP Top 25. Michigan also looking very solid. Trey Burke, like I said last week, arguably the best point guard in the NCAA right now. They're looking real good, but they are in a tough conference. I've said the Big Ten looks very solid. Even Northwestern, who is unranked and no one really thought they were going to do much, they looked solid against Illinois the other night. Even against Indiana, they kept it close, ended up losing by 8. But even the bottom teams in the Big Ten, they're always a threat to even the ranked teams that are in the Big Ten. So I think Michigan has a tough road ahead, but we'll see. And then Syracuse. Syracuse, I mentioned that loss to Temple, but they came out, they held their own against Louisville, and they got a huge win over number one. When you beat a number one, that adds to your resume, despite the fact that they lost to Temple, who was an unranked opponent. So I think that's why they're number three, they're not number one, is because that one loss to Temple. But at the same time, they're number three because they beat Louisville. And some other notables from the Pac-12. I know there's some Pac-12 fans that listen to this podcast. The UW, University of Oregon. University of Oregon moves up to number 16. And all you UCLA fans out there, you saw your team drop out of the top 25. So I'm sorry to you UCLA fans out there, but they are no longer in the top 25. And Arizona still sits at number 6. I think that's still a little bit generous considering they are in the Pac-12. The Pac-12, not the strongest conference this year. But Arizona, number 6. So it'll add to some credibility if some Pac-12 teams can just go in and beat Arizona, because beating a ranked opponent is beating a ranked opponent at the end of the year. It goes when you played them, what they were ranked. So it'll add to their RPI if any of the Pac-12 teams are able to beat Arizona. Whoever beats them, you'll add to their credibility and maybe make the NIT if UW beats them, or maybe make the NCAA tournament if it's an Oregon or UCLA that beats Arizona, and then they're able to play well in the conference. And the UW. I know a lot of Huskies fans don't really want to hear about the game over the weekend. They lost to Utah at home. Utah was 8-9 overall and 0-5 in the conference going into the game. And UW just looked flat the entire game. They weren't able to come back. Losing at halftime, and you're thinking, you know, maybe they'll come out in the second half. They're at home. Maybe they'll make some adjustments. They really did not look good in the second half either, and they weren't able to hold off Utah. And I think that was one of the problems I talked about. On last week's podcast, I said if they were able to beat Colorado, move to 4-0, it would add to their credibility, add to the standings. They'd be 4-0 in conference, which would be huge. And they did move up to 4-0 in conference. And then all of a sudden, they lose to Utah. So after they add 4 conference wins in a row to their record, they come out at home and lose to Utah. So I think any hope they had at making the NCAA tournament is gone after losing to Utah. But like I said, I still expect them to be an NIT team. Granted that they don't win their conference tournament, which I don't see happening, but who knows? Weirder things have happened. I really don't think UW will win the conference tournament, but I do expect them to be in the NIT, and I'd be very disappointed if they were not able to make the NIT, because I think they're fully capable of it. And moving on from college basketball, Tim Tebow. Where will Tim Tebow play next season? There's been a lot of speculation about Tim Tebow coming to the Seahawks. Mixed reviews from people that I talked to, because Matt Flynn, the current backup quarterback, they don't expect him to be here next year. Now, I don't know what they could get in exchange for Matt Flynn. John Idzik, the former Seahawks vice president of football administration, was just hired as the new Jets GM. So there's speculation that John Idzik will want Matt Flynn as a quarterback, granted that he knows Seattle well. Now he's in New York. New York needs a quarterback. There's a lot of talk saying Matt Flynn is headed to the New York Jets. But then what happens to Tebow? Maybe Tebow could be a part of a trade that sends Flynn to New York and Tebow to Seattle. But a lot of people say they don't want Tebow. They like Russell Wilson. They don't want to see Tebow running the Wildcat with Russell Wilson, since Wilson runs the read option so well. They say it's not necessary. The Seahawks need to decide, is it worth it to get Tim Tebow, or do they just want another backup quarterback that they can draft, maybe a late draft pick, or they could even sign an undrafted free agent, or a free agent that's out there right now for a quarterback, for a backup. So a lot of talk about Tim Tebow, Matt Flynn. It's really up in the air, but it looks like Matt Flynn could head to the New York Jets, which is new because John Idzik just headed to New York from Seattle. Also probable teams, been thrown around a little bit. Jacksonville could be interested in Matt Flynn, and Cleveland, if they're not comfortable with Brandon Whedon. I don't think Brandon Whedon really proved himself this year as a starting quarterback. So if the Browns really need another quarterback, they could sign Matt Flynn potentially. And Arizona, they're in the division. I don't know if the Seahawks would help out Arizona by trading Matt Flynn to Arizona, but Arizona is expected to draft either Matt Barkley or Geno Smith and give them a chance to start. So Arizona is not likely for Matt Flynn to end up. But hey, keep an eye on Jacksonville, keep an eye on Cleveland, and keep an eye on the New York Jets. And sticking with the NFL, Pro Bowl selections just released after the AFC and NFC championship. There were some changes made to the rosters. And none other than Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, will be heading to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl along with Marshawn Lynch, Max Unger, Russell Okung, Earl Thomas, and Leon Washington. So that'll be huge for Seahawks fans to watch six of their favorite players in the Pro Bowl this year. And I know everyone is pulling for Russell Wilson. It's unfortunate that Matt Ryan had to get injured for Russell Wilson to make it. We wish the best for Matt Ryan, but it'll be great watching Russell Wilson hand the ball off to Beast Mode in the Pro Bowl. Make the Pro Bowl a little more exciting to watch six of the Seahawks play in it. Some notable others from the AFC, Andrew Luck will be in the Pro Bowl. And from the NFC, I'm surprised he didn't make the first cuts after the huge year he had. Doug Martin will be joining the NFC Pro Bowl roster as well. So watching Doug Martin, Adrian Peterson, and Marshawn Lynch in the Pro Bowl will be phenomenal. It'll be a great ground game, and we'll see the best on display in Hawaii. Now moving on to the Twitter segment, John on Twitter asks, spring training is only a few weeks away, and are the Mariners expecting more out of Jesus Montero? The answer to that is yes. Mariners fans and the Mariners will expect more out of Jesus Montero since they just traded John Jaso for Mike Morse. Now that John Jaso's gone, Jesus Montero is going to have to step up, probably be an everyday catcher unless they acquire someone else that's going to come in and start. So I think Jesus Montero going to have high expectations, which scares me a little bit because he's a young player. He's going to have to step in, play the role of an everyday player behind the plate, and I don't think he's a proven catcher yet. A lot of people were excited when Michael Pineda was traded to New York for Jesus Montero. But I think as a catcher, you'll get good production hitting out of him as far as catchers go. You had Carlos Santana hitting around 230 for the Cleveland Indians, and he was the guy that was hyped up heavily last year for catchers, and he was hitting 230. So Jesus Montero, if he can come out, hit 260, 270, add some power to the lineup, and also be a great defensive catcher, I think that's what the Mariners really need out of him. He doesn't need to step up and hit 300 as a catcher, but I think for Jesus Montero to be a starting catcher and be hitting 270 or 260, the other people in the lineup are going to need to step up and hit. You're going to need a few 300 hitters in the lineup. You can't win when you got your highest guy hitting 269 and 270. So if the Mariners want to win this year, yes, there are high expectations out of Jesus Montero. But at the same time, the other guys around Jesus Montero really need to step it up as well. And Kevin on Twitter would like me to cover the Senior Bowl and what I see in the Senior Bowl. And he also requests no Harbaugh or Manti Te'o discussion. Now, Kevin, I appreciate that, saying no Manti Te'o. No Harbaugh. Super Bowl's coming up. If you guys didn't know, the Harbaugh brothers will be playing against each other. There's going to be so many childhood pictures they're going to show during the Super Bowl. We're going to hear this story over and over again, so I don't really need to cover it too much, or at least say that the brothers are playing against each other. I'm just going to leave it at that. And as far as Manti Te'o goes, this whole fake girlfriend thing has given him so much attention, whether it's negative or positive. I'm kind of tired of hearing about it in the media, so we will not focus in on Manti Te'o. But as far as the Senior Bowl goes, let's focus in on the Senior Bowl. And I think North Notables, it's going to be really interesting because Denard Robinson is listed as a wide receiver on the Senior Bowl North roster. That's Michigan's quarterback, Denard Robinson. He will be playing wide receiver. Now, we saw him start at running back this year instead of quarterback that one game when the running back Fitzgerald Toussaint got injured. But I think Denard Robinson, what he's doing here is he's going to put on a display for the NFL recruit who say, can Denard Robinson play as a receiver? Can he play as a running back? Can he play strictly as a quarterback? So he's going to try to put himself on display saying, I can play receiver. I'm a great athlete. Pick me up wherever. Put me wherever. I'm good for the draft. So I think that's what Denard Robinson's trying to do. And the Pac-12. A lot of Pac-12 players, mainly defense is what I want to focus on here. Desmond Trufant from the UW will be playing for the North in the Senior Bowl. TJ McDonald out of USC, also defensive back. Jordan Poyer from Oregon State. So you've got some good defensive backs coming out of the Pac-12. That's what we really need to focus on, is the defense in the Pac-12. That should be a great game to watch. And it should be interesting to watch those guys play. Running backs, Kenyon Barner out of Oregon. We saw his explosiveness in the Fiesta Bowl. We saw his explosiveness all year. Kenyon Barner, a great guy to watch in the Senior Bowl for the North. And also Jonathan Franklin out of UCLA. UCLA had a decent year this year, beating USC. Their bowl game, they probably don't want to talk about the bowl game, but Jonathan Franklin will be a fun one to watch in the North as a running back. Also out of Oregon State, a wide receiver, Marcus Wheaton. So look for some good skill positions from the Pac-12, and look for Denard Robinson at wide receiver. That will be interesting. So that's as far as the North goes. The South notables, I just really want to focus in on the quarterbacks in the South. They've got some great quarterbacks in the Senior Bowl this year, and I think the three quarterbacks are really the main focus for me. Quarterback Landry Jones out of Oklahoma, EJ Manuel from Florida State. We saw the great year that Florida State had. And then you have quarterback Tyler Wilson out of Arkansas. EJ Manuel of Florida State made them look real good. And Landry Jones from Oklahoma. Those are three solid quarterbacks from the South. So as far as the South goes, I'm watching the quarterbacks. As far as the North goes, a lot of DBs, the running back, and Denard Robinson. Should be an interesting game for sure. And sticking with college football, some news out of Oregon. Since Chip Kelly went to the Eagles, Oregon has promoted offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich to be the head coach of Oregon. Now, I like what Oregon's done here, promoting the offensive coordinator to be head coach, because he knows the system, he knows the players. It's someone that's internal that will be able to just adapt real quick and not have to learn a whole lot about the program. But at the same time, sometimes you see it in the NFL, sometimes you see it in college. They promote the offensive coordinator, and maybe they're not ready for a head coaching position yet. So I think that'll be interesting to see whether Helfrich is ready to be a head coach in college. That should be something to watch. But personally, I like the move, promoting the offensive coordinator to be the head coach, because he learned under Chip Kelly. He ran the same type offense that Chip Kelly wanted to run. So now all he has to do is just step up and be the head coach. And I'm just hoping discipline is not going to be a problem for Helfrich to come up and tell these players, you know, we're going to do things like this and have the players respect him as a first-year head coach. But like I said, the players know him, and it should be the same type offense. So Oregon should not change that much. Even though there is a new head coach, I don't expect a lot to change. And I don't know about you guys, I'm excited that hockey's back. Finally got to watch some hockey this weekend and tonight. Watch my Detroit Red Wings lose 6-0 to the Blues at St. Louis on Saturday. But they came out, beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-3 tonight in the shootout. So I'm personally watching my favorite team in the NHL. Great to have the NHL back. I know a lot of you hockey fans were having hockey withdrawals like I was. But hey, the NHL is back, and we welcome it back, and I'm glad to see it, and I really can't wait until baseball starts either. I know a lot of baseball fanatics out there, they want to come out and support their favorite team, the Seattle Mariners. Personally, my favorite team, the Detroit Tigers. Baseball's been gone for too long, so we will watch the Super Bowl and then get ready for baseball season. Super Bowl, first Sunday in February. Tweet at me, who you got? Who's your pick? You picking the Ravens, or are you picking the 49ers? 49ers are a 9-point favorite in a lot of Vegas casinos. But who do you think is going to win? I know the Ravens have been underdogs all throughout the playoffs, and they've come out and they've just made a statement, beating Denver in Denver, beating New England in Foxborough, which is not easy. And now, once again, they are underdog to the San Francisco 49ers. So who you got? Who's winning the Super Bowl? Tweet at me, at SEA Sports Report. Let me know your pick. Also, let me know if there's any other material you want me to cover for next week, January 28th, once again, at SEA Sports Report, and I will catch you next week.